As a country, we are well aware of the meaning of war and the consequences and the outcome of war. As Christians, we also know what it means to be ever fighting the spiritual war, the spiritual battle that rages within us and around us. So today, as we consider our theme, if you want to get up and do a haka for us, feel free, we'll watch. But as we consider the theme, I want us to think about what we've read. I only read the first few verses, but now I'm going to read on from 5 to 15. Sorry, I really do need other glasses. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority of the Lord gave for building up rather than pulling down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to be seen to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters, when we are absent, will be in our actions in the present. I'm just going to stop there. Who's ever heard of the book, Who You Are When No One's Looking? Well, it is a book that you can judge by its cover. It actually does talk about who we are when no one's looking. Are you the same person when no one's watching you as you are when you're in front of a crowd? If you speak holy words and you don't behave in holy ways, you're contradicting yourself and the scriptures. One of the greatest battles that you will ever fight is the battle with yourself. Who's ever fought the battle with themselves? It is a very tedious fight. But when we look at ourselves, however fleetingly, we're right in thinking we're okay. Because we are. We're okay. We're getting there. We're doing the everyday stuff. We're okay. We're nice to people. We're law-abiding citizens. So we're okay. We're good. And this is true because those things aren't part of the battle. Those things don't even come into play. There are a few things that we do and say and think that we can consider as being at war with ourselves. For example, whoever's here has had an argument with somebody, walked away and then said to themselves, "Why did I say that? I wish I'd never said that." But you can't eat words. And once it's out, it can't come back in. I shouldn't have said that. I wish I'd never said that. Because while you might be angry at the time, remorse is quick to come and bash you up for it. Perhaps one of the battles that you fight is a bad mood. Bad mood. You can slip into one, slide into one, fall into one. And it sometimes creeps up on you. The bad mood. Falling into a bad mood can be a bit like falling into an icy pond. I've never fallen into an icy pond, and I've only ever seen slush, not real snow. So I can imagine, though, falling through a hole in the ice and you can't get out because you can't grip on anything. Ice is slippery. There's no way of getting out. You've fallen into a bad mood. How are you going to get out? When I fall into a bad mood, I can feel my inward struggle to not be in a bad mood. I don't like it. It makes me feel yucky, for want of a more grown-up word, but it does. It makes me feel yucky. I can feel my spirit reminding me that this is not who I was created to be. I actually more enjoy lightheartedness and fun and things that bring me joy not things that make me feel bad. Am I representing the best me and the best Jesus I can represent if I'm in a bad mood, if I'm constantly in a bad mood? I grew up with a man who was constantly in a bad mood, and so I recognize it in myself immediately. I should do what I actually want to do and not what I don't want to do. But the scripture does tell us, doesn't it? I do what I don't want to do, and the things I do want to do, I don't do it. I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure I'm not standing up here telling my story and everyone's going, oh, look at her. That's not me. Perhaps the worst part of the bad mood battle is the knowledge that you saw it coming and you didn't get out of the way of it. Sometimes it does literally feel like you've been thrown under the proverbial bus or the truck has hit you and you're just grumpy and the bad mood is winning. Romans 7:15 says, I am a mystery to myself. Who's ever felt like they were a mystery to themselves? Don't understand why I did that. Don't understand why I think that. Don't understand myself at all. I'm a mystery for myself, for I want to do what is right, but I end up doing what my moral instincts condemn. Being in a bad mood and having the internal struggle with it is just one of many struggles. I just chose the bad mood because I grew up with a bad mood man and it's what I know. We face our human condition every single second of every single day of our lives. We battle our human condition. We may face jealousy. Maybe jealousy's your inward battle. It has been mine in the past. Jealousy can cause a war inside you, which will develop a bitterness that if you don't root it out, will rule, will control, and the war will not be won by you. Jealousy will steal your joy. It will snuff it out, easily as snuffing out a candle. Jealousy is wicked. Perhaps you struggle with a well-thought-through plan failing. I don't enjoy failing, but I'm getting more used to it. Because I feel like if I've done what I can do for Christ and it hasn't worked, then I've not done it for Christ because I've done it for me. Because Christ has all things under control. But failure, the feeling of failure, is yet another war that rages within us. And also, a failure feeling is not of Christ. With that lady, the lady that told the story about when you're at rock bottom, that's where you find the rock. Yeah. So when your failures make you feel like you've hit rock bottom, this woman yesterday, she's a great speaker, she said that's where she found the rock. The rock, Jesus Christ, where she would rebuild her horrific life and make it shine for Jesus. And she also said this, I am a masterpiece because I am a piece of the master. I'd never heard anybody say that before, and it was fantastic. The battle that she waged against herself was one of 30 years long. I don't know how long you have been at war with yourself, but for me, it's been 15. These are only a few examples, the bad mood, jealousy, failure. There are only a few that I could think of to explain the war that goes on within us. We know the world offers temptation. We know the reality is that Satan will do anything to move us away from the walk with Christ, to push us in a direction that has not been designed for us. Fill our heads with lies, making us believe them, and ensuring that the war never ends. Paul knew this problem all too well. Paul, our Bible writer, Even though he wrote many books of the New Testament, he struggled with the same fight within that we struggle with. He was not an airy-fairy man who thought, I know Christ now, all is well. He wasn't that man. He was the man who told everyone and tells everyone today, the battle is real, you must prepare for war. The scripture prepares us for war. Prayer prepares us for war. What I want to do, I don't do, and the stuff I do is the stuff I don't want to do. It trips us up every time. It trips me up every time. And then I walk away going, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. And of course, that's the belting stick, isn't it? The one that we will belt ourselves with. So don't be mistaken in thinking that Satan will not use yourself to punish yourself, because you are your own greatest weapon. It's the Passion Translation that says, I am a mystery to myself, in case you were looking for that one. It's in the Passion Translation, and I love it. I am a mystery to myself. Anyone else feel like that? Yeah, I don't understand myself, and I wish I did. Just think about how complex your body is, how complex your brain is. And we can't possibly hope to understand our spirit without our spirit guide. If you've said any yeses to any of this morning, you aren't alone. We stand together. We fight together. Togetherness is one of the weapons against all that would threaten to bring us undone. We feel the battle because we know what we've done, what we've said, what we've thought, and we know it goes against everything that we want and everything that we desire to be better in Christ and to walk better with Christ. We know it goes against our moral fiber. We know it goes against our moral instincts. But when the Bible says, I do the things I don't want to do, be comforted to know that this book was written so long ago. They were doing that back then. We're still doing it now, and humans will do it into the future. It doesn't make you unredeemable. It just makes you human. For the past 15 years, I have been declaring war against myself for many of these things. These things in my life would threaten to pull me away from the best life in Christ that I can live. So I stand before you this morning and tell you that even though the fight is hard, the victory is worth it. Now, the other day, for a week, Wednesday last week, I poured my heart out to my husband. But for the week leading up to that, Satan had reminded me of a situation 21 years ago, 22 years ago, that I had forgotten. And at the time, it was what was necessary. I worked in a children's home, and my actions were absolutely necessary at the time, and all was well. Except God must be going to do something great either in me or around me or with my family, because Satan flogged me with this memory for a week until I had to tell Wes what went on. And he said, I don't know what you're making a big deal out of. It's nothing. And it was. It really is. It's really nothing. I comforted a child who had suffered such horrific abuse, and he needed comfort. And instead of sleeping in his bed, he slept in my bed without me. I was not there. But it was my bed. I slept on the floor in the hallway. Very uncomfortable. However, the child would not stop screaming, and I had six other kids in my care who were all also screaming because they'd been woken up with a fright from this child's nightmares screaming. So to put him in my bed and shut the door and let him sleep, and I slept in the hallway, Satan has been using that to flog me all week. I got my husband to pray over me, and the battle was won. And I slept, and I felt restored. I did nothing wrong. But Satan doesn't care that you did nothing wrong. He only cares that he knows how to get to you. And he knows for me, children are my world. And any time Satan will use that against you, whatever your thing is, don't be the least bit unprotective of the things that are very precious to you, because he has no qualms in using everything against you to push you away from your walk with Christ. I guarantee that when you declare war against yourself and those things that would bring you down, you will receive a power that you probably have received before at different occasions, and it will push you forward and you will take greater steps in winning this war. Becoming familiar with the things that rear up and try to bring you undone is also an awesome thing to practice. We need to weed out those things like unwanted guests. Ever heard the expression, guests and fish have something in common? They both go off in 3 days. My mum told me that when she was visiting me. Japanese proverb. I wondered if she wanted to go home, so I said, well, if you want to go home, that's okay. She's like, oh, no, no, just thinking about other people. Anyway, moving on, getting distracted. Paul, as I said before, a very realistic man, and he writes this for us. I'm just going to read 3 to 5 again. For though we live in the world, we do not wage a war as the world does. Guns, knives, however the war goes on these days, they use all sorts of things now. Technology is a weapon. You can detonate a bomb with your phone. All these kinds of things go on now. This is how the world does it. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. We do not tap into the divine power of God as much as we should and can. The divine power to demolish the strongholds, the things that stay in our heads and capture us and are unrelenting. To declare war, we need to watch our heads. If you want to wage war, you have to go where the battle is the hottest, and that is your strongholds. You will never really see what God has in life for you if you don't take out the strongholds. And it's scary. I know. I've been doing this for 15 years, and it's hard, and it's scary. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. These verses are common to us. We hear them all the time. But do we hear them? Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To declare war, we need to use words. They say the average person speaks about 5,000 words a day. We had to stop speaking in our house to give Wes and Logan the extra words. Didn't we, George? They talk more than anyone I've ever known. Ever. But this is what happens. We use words. We talk to each other. And we get our message across. We communicate with words. And generally, we find it easier to speak kind words to each other and horrible words to ourselves. And I am a perfect example for horrible words to yourself. Like, you're an idiot. Or, you're a moron. You know, those are foul things to say to anyone, but we seem to deem it okay to say it to ourselves. I wish I didn't do it. Why does one child of God get to be spoken to with love, adoration, and respect, but you, as a child of God, don't? Scripture tells us in the Proverbs that words kill, words give life, words are either fruit or poison, and we get to choose. Finally, if you choose to declare war, you need to keep showing up. Keep showing up in the battle, keep showing up at church, keep showing up to commitments that you've made, keep showing up in your marriage, keep turning up and showing up. And even if you fail or fall, dust yourself off and get up and fight again. Go another round in the ring with the battle that rages. Don't stop. Don't quit. Quitting is good, easy, simple. It's all done. But every time you quit, Satan gets another foothold. In my childhood, I always felt like I had two insights: the world of my mother, the world of my father. My mother's a Christian, my father is not. So my reality was church. I chose the way of Christ, and it wasn't until I'd already finished officer training that I realized that I was in a war, that I realized what a spiritual battle I was actually in. And I declared war against myself. I declared war on my poor self-image. I declared war on my leftover emotional hang-ups from being bullied at school. I declared war against all of the negative thoughts that had come to me thanks to the nasty girls in my high school. I declared war against my identity being decided by my family of origin rather than by my Christ. I am a very different person standing before you today than who would have stood before you 15 years ago. I decided that I was not going to let Satan win anything in my life. And when we did a lot of family of origin stuff at college and further studies, I realized that just because you're born into a family doesn't mean you have to adopt the things that they think are precious and the things that they think is what makes you who you are. Christ is who makes you who you are. And he is the person who will stand in the gap for you. My genetic family do not understand me, but I just keep dragging them along for the ride. They'll get there. They'll understand. And you will have your own war that you are fighting, your own internal spiritual battle that you will fight every day. And you will need the right weapons. And you will be victorious, and I believe that. Because we as a church will stand together, and we will be stronger because we stand together, and because Jesus is on our side. And we declare war in Jesus' name. Every time you declare something in Jesus' name, you remove the Satan power, because he can't be in the same presence as the name of Jesus. He cannot listen to it. He cannot abide it. And we can have great comfort in that knowledge. There isn't enough room for you and God on the throne of your heart. You need to choose. And while God is on the throne of your heart, the battle will be won. The team are going to assemble and we're going to sing, "Lord, I give you my heart."